Well, I poke my head out of the ground every now and then, and it happens to be always spring training.
Well, Hall of Fame, I want to start with that because, you know, it's you're getting 14%. You should have about 78%. I don't know. It's going to happen. Believe it's going to happen. What are your thoughts about that? I'll tell you why. We have always discussions in the dugout, you know, writers and all that. And I said, what about Jeff Kent? Everyone says, absolutely. We look him up on Baseball Reference for comparable hitters to you in the big leagues. Everyone who's comparable to you is a third baseman. A third baseman and no second baseman. You've eclipsed them all.
That's a tough vote for anybody. You know, that's an argument and a debate that'll happen forever. You know, I think, you know, so much has been talked about my offensive numbers that, you know, sometimes I think that people have truly gotten away from some of the defensive stats. And it's so hard to judge defense. But, you know, something that I've been... that's a known knowledge to me is you know, double play conversions and you know, playing with some of the best shortstops that were in the game for me. Jose Vizcaino was one of them here with the Giants. But you know, I hope people, you know, when they argue and debate it, take the total package. Yeah. Is where I'm going with this. Is you know, offense great? You know, put up some great numbers. Love to hit. I always live by a philosophy that the money lies in the RBIs. So, you know, if you don't drive in the runs, you're not going to win the ball game. But you know, throughout my whole career, I wasn't. I don't think I was the best second baseman out there. But I'm proud of you know, the way that I play defense, and I hope people take that in consideration too.
No, look, we argue it all the time, and you know, the only second baseman on the list who's close to you is Ryan Sandberg, and that's the only one who's close to you.
You know, I played in some great ballparks. I played in some big ballparks too. You know, had a chance to play in an era that you know, people will debate forever as well. Yeah. You know, you had the collective, my collective work over time in the era that I played. Yeah. You know, then you know, hopefully people will continue to debate me for quite a while.
Well, I don't want the debate to go on that long. This should happen, and I think you just got caught in the logjam of so many going in at one time. And one of your teammates went in. That's Craig Biggio.
Yeah, he was, you know, deserving. He was a player that was a grinder. He played three different positions, maybe even four at one time. He was a guy that, you know, showed up to work every day and wanted to play every day. I don't think he got hurt very much, too. So he was a grinder, and I'm happy that he got in.
Yeah, he would get hit a lot. Now, of course, in the old days, they'd wear a rubber suit under the uniform. But Craig Biggio, if I'm not mistaken, is right up there with the leaders of all time of getting hit.
He was, you know, and he was a guy, I believe, near the end of his, probably the second half of his career, started wearing those elbow pads and to protect himself. But he was a guy, a smaller player, used a smaller bat, so he had to crowd the plate. And he was such a good hitter that pitchers needed to get him off the plate. So he'd get hit a lot.
Good insight. Jeff Kent with us. Jeff, what about Bagwell? He gets in the debate as well, and of course there's a little insinuation of him with steroids and all that, which is certainly keeping him out. But what about Jeff Bagwell as a baseball player? What did you see?
You know, I had a chance to play with the Astros for 2 years, and Biggio, Bagwell, Berkman. You know, and Bagwell at the end of his career, Biggio as well. You know, Bagwell was a great teammate. I enjoyed playing with him. You know, he didn't put up the numbers that near the end of his career like he did in the middle or the beginning. But he played in a monster ballpark in Houston, played on AstroTurf, and he played a lot, too. And he was a guy that really worked hard in the weight room because he needed the strength in order to hit balls well. His batting stance, and he'll even admit it, was the most unorthodox, ugliest batting stance and stride ever. He actually had a back stride. So to make up for that ugliness, he had to be super strong. And he worked at it. He worked hard. You know, whether people want to debate on an unknown, you know, have at it. That's not in my realm of things. But, you know, he's a player that I believe in his era was one of the best players. So, if you know, that's got to be a criteria for a Hall of Fame guy. And if it is for people who debate it, you know, he's got to be in there.
Yeah. Do you like the debate, the Hall of Fame debate that we go through all the time? Not necessarily on you, but just the talk of it.
You know, I think there ought to be more of it because it really draws out the interest in baseball. I think I think it, part of me believes there's a little bit of I don't know, a lull in this time in the Hall of Fame time of year, only because there's only talk about one or two players getting in, you know. And if there were more players that had a possibility to get in, then I think there'd be more talk about baseball. Right. It would be more advertisement for the game. It would draw better attention into the game about all these great players. And if we continue to, you know, we create this WAR stat. I don't know where the heck that came from. You know, we never used to judge players by WAR, but now we do. So, you know, is that fair? But I wonder if there wasn't more discussion and more talk about the Hall of Fame, or more talk about the best players in the game, if that really wouldn't benefit baseball in a bigger way. And baseball needs help, because every time I turn around and pick up the newspaper or ESPN, I'm watching basketball and football, and baseball is always the third tick, and that doesn't make me happy, because I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah, that'll good segue for you and I into the pace of the game. And now we have a new commissioner. Every day, the guy comes up with something else, and the pace of the game. And did you step out of the box, keep one foot in, and of course Bonds hit in front of you. He never really left the box.
You know, Bonds was such a great planner. Whereas he had a plan, and he didn't care what was going on. He was getting in the box, and he was going to grip it and rip it. You know, for me, at times, I got called a human rain delay because I needed to slow the game down. And, you know, you add my slowness, you add now there's specific pitchers in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings now like there was never before. I would agree that the pace of the game, you know, getting over 3 hours is too long. It has to be quickened up in some way. I would hope that they, in fairness, that they would quicken the pitchers up as well as the hitters. Maybe quicken the coaches up, making some calls out to the bullpens. But I think what really has to happen, too, there needs to be an accountability for pitchers, specific pitchers being taken out in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. Because once you get to the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, that game just seems to drag on forever. And I hope that Major League Baseball, they're doing a good thing by trying to quicken the pace. Absolutely doing a good thing. I just hope they keep it fair where hitters have a chance, or if they're going to try to take something away from the hitters, you know, they also do it to the pitchers as well.
Yeah. Well, great to talk baseball with you. It's always a pleasure. I talked with Philippe Alou this morning, and we're talking about hitters that like to get the sign from the runner on second base. Sometimes it's a little dangerous, but we see that all the time. It's part of the game. It went back to Felipe's time as well. Did that happen with you?
You know, it did, and I was a guy that didn't like it because I didn't want to rely so much on, you know, that pitch is going to be away, or if it's a curveball, and then I'm sitting on a curveball and it happens to be a fastball and I take one in the ear. So I was a guy that didn't like it. I was more than happy to give it if I knew it. But catchers nowadays are even better at disguising their signs. But one thing that we did that really nobody talks about is when you sit there and watch a pitcher, sometimes pitchers have tendencies. And they may give away a breaking ball or a fastball. Dennis Eckersley, at early in his career, was a guy who gave away his breaking ball. And I don't know if anybody ever talks about it. I'm not using it to rip on Eckersley, but there are pitchers that we knew for a fact, if they did something quirky with their glove or their hand or the way they stepped, that we knew that pitch was coming. Now, I like that. Other than that, if I was trusting in one of my teammates out there to judge from a catcher what was coming, you know, I stayed away from that because I didn't want to know. But it happens, and it ought to happen. I think that's part of the greatness of this game, is to try to sneak signs. I was even on first base. When I was at first base, one of the reasons why I wore sunglasses all the time is I would move my eyes and try to peek into the catcher to see if he was throwing a curveball so I could steal, because I sure couldn't steal off a fastball, but if it was a curveball, I could steal. So, you know, we were peeking peeking signs that way, too.
Well, great to talk with Jeff Kent. Of course, everyone up here really loves his part of baseball. Pitchers ever knock you down because you'd get out of the box and take too much time? You ever get into the thing with a pitcher?
Oh, I learned early in my career from Tony Pena was a catcher, Roger Clemens was a pitcher. This was spring training, and Tony Pena thought I was peeking at his catching signs when I was in the batter's box, and I said, no, sir, no, sir. So Tony Pena, the next pitch, got up. He said, you're looking at my signs. So he told Roger Clemens that I was peeking at his signs. Well, what did Roger do? First, next pitch was in my ear, knocked me on my butt. And Jose Rio was another guy who I would dig a hole in the batter's box, stick my foot in, and I looked up, and Jose Rio's standing about 20 feet from me, and he says, you get in that batter's box, kid, or the next one's coming at your head. So I learned early to try not to dig in on pitchers, and yes, pitchers would, early in, you know, my career, would come after you for things like that. So they teach young kids. And it was great. It was part of the game, and it was no big deal for me. And you just learn the rhythm of the game. And I appreciated learning from guys like that. And nowadays, I don't know if that happens much more, nowadays.
No, it's different. Hitting coach for you. Who turned you around or made you the hitter that you became?
Finally, everything came together for me with Dusty Baker. Now, I know he was the manager, but he was a hitting coach, too. Dusty was a guy that gave me advice that really resonated within me and really translated well. There was a few coaches before him that I, you know, was with New York that when I was with the Mets that really helped kind of, you know, build a foundation. But Dusty was the guy that really brought it all together for me, trusted in my abilities, and understood how to give me advice that would really help me out on the field.
Yeah, what was the last piece of advice that you got that actually was the last piece of the puzzle that put it together for you?
You know, I wasn't a guy that went the other way very well. And when I got to San Francisco in Candlestick Park, there was a jet stream that went out to right center. And that was a jet stream that was underutilized by me and a bunch of players. So Dusty really started to teach me to be confident and drive the ball the other way. Don't just hit it the other way. Drive it the other way. And once I started to get comfortable with that, I was able to let the ball get deep in the strike zone, keep my hands inside the ball, and really drive the ball out to right center. And, you know, that took my batting average from 250 to 300. It was that piece of advice that really helped.
Boy, very good. Jeff, you're down here in spring training, and as I say, we always look forward to seeing you. You're usually the first one down here. Who are you working with this year, and what are the kinds of things you're doing?
You know, I Panic last year, I saw him a lot, and he was giving some advice to him. Hicks was another guy early in spring that I talked to a lot. And, you know, those guys have graduated up to, you know, just needing small pieces of advice now. So, you know, more than not, I'm just here to, you know, give words of wisdom, give a third eye to what they're doing. You know, there nobody in particular. I'm kind of watching some of these younger kids. Only been here a couple days, so I'm learning some of these younger kids now. But I like some of these kids are bigger and stronger and faster than I was. Oh my gosh! So it's neat to see that they've got a foundation for talent, and you know that's one reason why the Giants are so good, is they got such great kids in the minor league system.
I saw you working at second base trying to show them how to get out of the way when turning a double play. And, you know, in your day, people would come barreling in. I imagine you had to get out of the way. What do you tell somebody?
Well, I hope they listen to my advice and don't think I was just a hitter. But, you know, turning a double play was something I really took pride in. And I think over my career, I would, you know, it may be fair to say that I probably had a bigger conversion rate than most second basemen throughout my generation. So I try to teach them, you know, some technique in the fact that when you get hit, if you get hit, and if you have this technique, you'll be okay. You know, I remember being lazy around second base one game at Candlestick, and I got taken out by a runner coming in and put me on the ground for 6 weeks, couldn't play. And that's because I got lazy. It was thinking we were well ahead, he wasn't going to come and get me, and he barreled into me, and I was done for 6 weeks. So, you know, it's just trying to give advice to all the kids, not only the big leaguers, but the younger kids too, that, hey, you know, if this is how, you know, the old, hey, when I played kind of scenario, but it's true, is, hey, look, this is what really helped me in my conversion of double play rate. This is what I learned, because I learned that from guys before me too. So what didn't just come from me. So I'm just trying to pass on that knowledge from generation to generation, and hopefully they'll get it and understand it and apply it.
Boy. Yeah, you see it at second base all the time. Just get the bag and sort of get out of the way, I guess.
You know, and when players just want to get the ball and throw it and get out of the way, they don't necessarily convert too many double plays. You got a chance to turn two, and make it happen, whatever it takes. Get hit, no problem. But if you're going to get hit, be in this position, and then you won't get hurt.
You've been a great benefactor of Cal Sports. Tell us a little bit about it. It's really one of the nicer things you do.
You know, this past season, we finally endowed a scholarship. Cal, if women-driven program, has finally got an endowed scholarship for female walk-on athlete, and that'll be, forever outstanding perpetual scholarship program that I was able to put together with the help from the Giants, the fans that are out there that donated when I was with the Giants, too. All of them had an influence in me finally being able to gather the funds to put the scholarship together, you know, for women to have a chance. You know, it's unlikely they'll be a professional athlete, but it's very likely that they could use sports to now get some funds to go to college to be a professional somebody, and I think that's a great opportunity for them.
Great to see you here. Always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.